December 4th, the Holy Great Martyr Barbara. This glorious follower of Christ was betrothed to Christ from early childhood. Her father, Dioscorus, was a pagan and was renowned for his position and wealth in the city of Heliopolis in Egypt. Dioscorus locked up his only daughter Barbara, brilliant in mind and of beautiful countenance, in a high tower. He surrounded her with every comfort, gave her female servants, erected idols for worship, and built her a bathing room with two windows. Looking through the window at the earth below and the starry heavens above, Barbara's mind was opened by the grace of God. She recognized the one true God, the Creator. Despite the fact that she did not have a human teacher to bring her to this knowledge. Once, while her father was away from the city, she came down from the tower and, according to God's providence, met some Christian women who revealed the true faith of Christ to her. Barbara's heart became inflamed with love for Christ the Lord. She ordered that a third window be cut open in the bath so that the three windows would represent the Holy Trinity. On one wall she traced a cross with her finger, and the cross etched itself deep in the stone as if cut by a chisel. A pool of water sprang forth from her footprints on the floor of the bath, which later gave healing of diseases to many. Learning of his daughter's faith, Dioscorus beat her severely and drove her from the tower. He pursued her in order to kill her, but a cliff opened up and hid Barbara from her brutal father. When she appeared again, her father brought her to Martianus, the magistrate, who handed her over for torture. They stripped the innocent Barbara and flogged her until her entire body was covered with blood and wounds. But the Lord himself appeared to her in prison with his angels and healed her. A certain woman, Juliana, upon seeing this, desired martyrdom for herself. Both women were severely tortured and with mockery were led through the city. Their breasts were cut off and much blood flowed from them. They were finally led to the place of execution, where Dioscorus himself slaughtered his daughter, and Juliana was slain by the soldiers. That same day lightning struck the house of Dioscorus, killing him and Martianus. Saint Barbara suffered in the year 306. Her miracle-working relics rest in Kiev. Glorified in the kingdom of Christ, she has appeared many times even in our own day, sometimes alone and sometimes in the company of the Most Holy Theotokos. Saint John Damascene. John was first the chief minister to Caliph Abdul Malik and later a monk in the monastery of Saint Sava the Sanctified. Because of his ardent defense of the veneration of icons during the reign of the iconoclastic Emperor Leo the Assyrian, John was maligned by the emperor to the caliph, who cut off his right hand. John fell down in prayer before the icon of the Most Holy Theotokos, and his hand was rejoined and miraculously healed. Seeing this miracle, the caliph repented, but John no longer desired to remain with him as a nobleman. Instead, he withdrew to a monastery where, from the beginning, he was a model to the monks in humility, obedience, and all the prescribed rules of monastic asceticism. John composed the funeral hymns and compiled the Octoechos, the Book of Eight Tones, the Ermologion, the Menologion, and the Paschal Canon, and he wrote many theological works of inspiration and profundity. A great monk, hymnographer, theologian, and soldier for the truth of Christ, Damascene is numbered among the great fathers of the Church. He entered peacefully into rest in about the year 776 at the age of 104. Saint Gennadius, Archbishop of Novgorod. Gennadius was a distinguished writer, a champion of truth, and one who suffered for the truth of Christ. He gathered the various books of sacred scripture into one book and compiled the key for determining the date of Pascha, the Paschalion, for the next 532 years. He entered into rest in the Lord in the year 1505. His miracle-working relics rest in the Chudov Monastery in Moscow. Hymn of Praise, St. John Damascene.
O wondrous trumpet of the Orthodox faith, O glorious monk of a glorious cenobium, John the poet, champion of the faith, holy sufferer for the holy icons, having glorified God, you are now glorified. Immortal trumpeter of eternal life, you left the world for the sake of the living Christ. Having humbled yourself, you are glorified the more. You took upon yourself the path of asceticism. Through tears you beheld the heavenly mysteries. By prayer and faith you perform miracles. You converse with the Mother of God. The faith, who could better expound it? Who could glorify God with a sweeter hymn? O harp of eternal truth, there is none like you, no one like you, glorious Father Damascene. O raise even now your pure mouth, and implore the life-giving Christ for us, that his mercy accompany us until death, that we with you may glorify him.
Reflection. Obedience, coupled with humility, is the foundation of the spiritual life, the foundation of salvation, and the foundation of all the overall structure of the Church of God. The great John Damascene, great in every good thing, as a monk, left a deep impression on the history of the Church by his exceptional example of obedience and humility. Testing him one day, his elder and spiritual father handed him woven baskets and ordered him to take them to Damascus and sell them there. The elder established a very high price for the baskets, thinking that John would not be able to sell them at that price, but would have to return with them. John, therefore, firstly, had to go on a long journey. Secondly, he had to go as a poor monk to the city where he, at one time, had been the most powerful man after the caliph. Thirdly, he had to seek a ridiculously high price for the baskets. And fourthly, should he not sell the baskets, he would have made this enormous journey, there and back, for nothing. In this way, the elder wished to test the obedience, humility, and patience of his famous disciple. John silently prostrated before the elder and, without a word, took the baskets and started on his journey. Arriving in Damascus, he stood in the marketplace and awaited a buyer. When he told the interested passers-by the price of his goods, they laughed at and mocked him as a lunatic. He stood there the whole day, and the whole day he was exposed to derision and ridicule. But God, who sees all things, did not abandon his patient servant. A certain citizen passed by and looked at John. Even though John was clad in a poor monk's habit and his face was withered and pale from fasting, this citizen recognized in him the one-time Lord and first minister of the Caliph, in whose service he had also been. John also recognized him, but they both began to deal as strangers. Even though John named the all-too-high price of the baskets, the citizen purchased and paid for them without a word, recalling the good that John Damascene had once done for him. As a victor, Holy John returned to the monastery rejoicing and brought joy to his elder. Contemplation. Contemplate the sinful fall of Adam and Eve, Genesis 3. How Adam and Eve, having sinned, hid themselves from God. How, hearing the voice of God, they fled and hid themselves among the trees. How even now every sin estranges us from God. How a sinner, hearing the voice of God through his conscience, hides himself in a rational nature. Homily. On how everything is good that is of God. And God saw that it was good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, verse 10. Verse 12, verse 18, verse 21, and verse 25. Brethren, only good works proceed from the good Creator. Therefore, let all those who say that both good and evil proceed from God be silent. After his every act, God himself affirms that it is good. 6 times he repeated that what he created was good, and finally, the 7th time, when he saw all in its entirety, he pronounced his judgment that all he had created was very good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Therefore, in total, he repeated 7 times that everything was good that came into existence by his holy will. Is it not a great wonder that some people come up with the godless assertion that both good and evil equally proceed from God? God, as if he knew that such slanders would be cast against him, or, better to say, that such slanders would be cast throughout the centuries, gave his defense in advance and repeated it 7 times for all times and for all generations. Evil comes from sin, and there is no sin in God. Therefore, God can do no evil. He is called the Almighty because he is powerful to do every good. Wicked and twisted are the commentators on God who claim that God is Almighty because he can do both good and evil. God is the source of good and is darkened by nothing, and nothing can proceed from him that is contrary to good. It is obvious to every normal man that evil is contrary to good. Know, brethren, that those who speak of duality in God, in the eternal source of good, are those in whom is found the duality of good and evil. However, all those who love good, follow the path of goodness, and yearn for good, have a clear revelation within themselves that God is good, and only good. O our God, our Creator, thou art the Creator of all good, and all thy works are good. To you be glory and thanks always. Amen.